scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 4. We've this morning moved into Ephesians 3, and this evening are moving into Mark chapter 4. This begins a new section within the Gospel of Mark. We have a section of parables. We'll look through those. Interestingly, evangelist Mark gives us the first parable, and then he goes on to tell us what parables are. So he gives us a parable, which is the sower and the seed, and then he tells us what parables are and tells us their purpose. So we're going to look at a parable, and then next week look at the purpose of parables and what parables are. We're just going to follow Mark's lead in this. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "And again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.' And he said to them, 'Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May God continue to bless that reading to our hearts and to our minds. We're beginning this section on parables, and we'll have opportunity to review some of these parables that the Lord Jesus gives. But this first parable is one that asks the question how God ordinarily works in the heart and mind of one who comes to Christ. what we call justification, or some call being born again. How does that happen? How does God make that happen in the life of the Christian? How does God change you? How does God conform one, or begin to conform one, to the image of Christ? Central to this work of God in evangelism and in building the church is the Word of God and the proper use of the Word of God. The kingdom of God is a word-centered kingdom. That's what we're going to see as we begin to look at these parables. Central to the kingdom of God is a book. It's the Bible and the preaching and teaching of that book. Now, we can't ever underestimate the value of God's word read or God's word preached in the life of the believer. Hearing the word of God profitably read and hearing the word of God profitably preached is something of great value to our souls. And we need to always remember that. Now, Jesus presents us with this first parable of Mark 4, and he begins with the importance of hearing, of rightful hearing of the Word of God, and how that rightful hearing is intended to produce and bring forth fruit in your life. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at that, and if you notice, the parable is given in verses 4 through 8, and then there's this little pause that I already mentioned, how Jesus tells us what a parable is and its purpose. And we're going to look at that little purpose next week. But then Jesus interprets the parable for us. So really, that's the best way to have a preacher to be safe, is that when Jesus literally gives the interpretation, that means that in a sense we can just sit back and enjoy what Jesus has given to us. So we're going to do that. We're going to begin with looking at the sowing of the word. The sowing of the word. Verse 4 starts out with, or verse 3 starts out, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Now that's interesting, because what Jesus tells us is that he wants us to listen and to look. That's listen, behold. He wants us to get this image in our mind of one going out and sowing in a field. I'm assuming you know that sowing is a form of planting, a scattering of seeds, where seeds are thrown into soil with the intention of those growing into plants and having a harvest. And then look at verse 14. In verse 14, Jesus tells us that which is sown is the word of God. So that's the interpretation. That which is sown is the Bible going forth, the word of God going forth and being sown by the one that would be the farmer. So the word of God is central in the conversion and the growth of one that would trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible is that means by which God speaks to humanity. And if you think about any spiritual growth that you have, I promise you that you are able to trace that spiritual growth back to your interaction with God's written word used properly. The profitable hearing, the profitable preaching of God's word. You can remember question 2 of our catechism. The word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. So your question, how do I glorify God in my life? Or maybe even the more personal question, how do I enjoy God in my life? And the answer is, your interaction with this book is the means by which you will glorify God and to enjoy Him. It's central. So this is what is being planted in the hearts and the minds of the hearers. This word is being planted not only to you, but in me as well, and all of those that would hear the word of God. But what I want you to understand is that God has given the church a means by which this word is sown and planted. And I think that's really interesting. God says, here's this book, and this book needs to get into the hearts and minds of those who are in the congregation. You say, well, how do I do that? How is that to be done? God has given us a means for that to occur. Again, our catechism says, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago in our series in Ephesians, and the centrality of preaching and what it means for this book to be proclaimed, to be heralded, and for the Holy Spirit to take those words and to bring them into our heart and mind and to use them to convict and to convert sinners. You might think, well, Pastor Nathan, we already talked about that. Why do we need to mention it again? But I think that this is an opportunity that the Holy Spirit in His wisdom has put before us. It's not just, you know, the hobby horse of the preacher is to talk about preaching. It's that in our series, this has come up again. So we should heed that word. This means that which is sown and the means by which it is sown, scriptures read and scriptures preached together in this parable as the one who sows in that which is sown. Now we understand or we've mentioned that in the preaching of the word, there are two preachers. You remember that language. When the Word of God is preached, there's the outward preacher. That's Pastor Nathan. And if you want to pull this screen up and have me preach behind the pulpit or preach behind the screen so you never have to look at me, that's fine with me. Because the voice and that which is heard and the way that the Holy Spirit as the second preacher, Christ through His Spirit, preaching to our hearts and to our minds, that is where the work of converting and convicting and changing and challenging sinners happens. It is there where the Word of God becomes effectual for our heart and for our minds. The Spirit of God takes that work, takes that crucified Christ, and applies Him to our hearts and applies Him to our minds. And the Spirit of God is the one that takes whatever was preached on Sunday and applies it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday throughout the week. Maybe you've had that experience where you hear something preached or you hear words read in the worship service and somehow you have interaction with them again sometime in the week and the Spirit of God impresses that upon you. That's the work of the Spirit in using His Word. The sowing of the Word both in reading and hearing. Now, that seems to be self-evident as far as what the applications in that would be for you. Are you in the Word? Are you in God's Word? Is the only interaction you're having with God's Word when you come here and hear me read it, or when you hear it preached? Are you in God's Word during the week? That's not to guilt you. It's to encourage you to be in the Scriptures. Are you reading the Scriptures with your family? Are you drawing out the truth of the Word of God in your home? Because from the Scriptures comes life. From that word sown comes your opportunity to glorify God and your opportunity to enjoy God in your life. Are you reading the Scriptures? Are you meditating on the truth of the Scriptures? Are you letting them go into your soul? Are you hearing sermons as you hear sermons? Do you listen critically, or do you listen so that the Lord may teach you and change you and challenge you? You see, this is the sowing of the Word. You hear the Scriptures read. You hear the Scriptures preached. The preacher is sowing. The Holy Spirit is sowing. That's that scattering of seed that Jesus speaks of. William Perkins is a theologian that I've done some study on, and William Perkins is called the father of Puritanism. He was an Elizabethan. He was a professor at Cambridge in the 16th century. He was a mentor to some of the greatest preachers that the English language has ever preached, and some even that came to America. And Perkins was fond of saying that the church is God's cornfield. That's his language. The church is God's cornfield. He said it was that place that is central to where the work of God was planted. It was that plot of land where the Lord sows his corn and watches that corn to grow. And Perkins said that there were different types of hearers. He said there are some hearers who are ignorant of the Word, but they're teachable. There are some that are ignorant of the Word and unteachable. There are those that are humbled as they hear the Word of God. There are those that are backslidden and need to be called to repentance. And Perkins would go on to say that the church is this field of mixed company, this cornfield with various types of growth, and the preacher or the sower has to sow within that whole context in order to reach the hearts and minds of those within that cornfield. And of course, Perkins is just taking this idea from the Gospels, isn't he? This is what Jesus is getting at. There's various types of hearers, and in the parable of the sower, they don't all respond to the Word of God in the same way. Jesus tells us that there are four categories of hearers, and as he explains that in the second half of Mark 4, he tells us that only one of those four categorical hearers is converted. Only one responds positively to the Word of God and has growth. So we're going to look at those now, and we're going to turn our attention first to those that hear the Word of God, both read and preached, but that reading and preaching does not have lasting effect. So there's no effectual calling, as we say, behind the Word. So our second heading, the losing of the Word. The losing of the Word. This is verses 4 through 7, and then their interpretation, verses 14 through 19. So in verses 4 through 7, Jesus tells us that there are three categories of hearers when we consider those that hear the word of God, but do not bear fruit. These hearers hear the word of God preached. They hear the word of God read. They may even read it for themselves. But it does not do anything of eternal and lasting value for their souls. So Jesus here wants us to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves, what type of hearer am I? So the first hearer is what we could call the pathway hearer. The pathway hearer. This is verse 4 and then verse 14 and 15. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So for the pathway hearers, this is those that hear the word of God preached, and that word is nothing, and it means nothing, and the reading of the word is nothing and means nothing. That may be those that sit in church from week to week, and you ask them questions like, what was the sermon about? Total blank. No idea what the preaching was on. Or what was the scripture reading about? No idea what the scripture reading was about. Maybe you could even help them. You could read Mark chapter 4, and they just maybe would have that blank look like, I have no idea what is being talked about. Some would say that it is meaningless form. It's merely religious words and religious motions. Some of you might remember the Peanuts cartoon, and you remember the teacher in the Peanuts cartoon as the kids are all sitting in class, Charlie Brown and company, and you remember the teacher, wah, 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 wah. That's the preaching of the word for some. It is meaningless. It means nothing to their hearts and to their minds. J.C. Ryle said that these are they who hear sermons but pay no attention. They go to a place of worship to appear respectable before men, but they take no interest in preaching. It seems to them that it is a mere matter of words and names and unintelligible talk. It's neither money nor food nor drink nor clothes nor company. And as they sit under the sound of it, they're taking up with the thinking of other things. Meaning that since preaching is not just about money and food and drink and clothes and the business life, it's of no value. And that's what is heard. That's a man or a woman who is unconverted, and the word of God comes, and it's as if a veil protects them even from hearing the word of God. Now, the second category is what we would call the rocky hearers. The rocky hearers, verses 5 and 6, and then 16 and 17. Jesus says, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. This is someone who is quickly converted, and in that quick conversion, there's no roots that grow and no roots that develop. So when difficulties come, they're swept away. It's temporary faith. As the pressures of this world or the difficulties of persecution come up, we might say they're living the Christian life on their own strength rather than the strength of the Spirit of God, totally rootless in the Christian life. You remember that we're called to cleave. We're called to cling to our Savior. And here, we see that these people see Jesus maybe as a boon in their lives, but not as the Savior who they need above all things. I mentioned this morning that we've been reading the book of Acts in our family, and last week we read of Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer, very quick to believe the gospel and to come and to say, of course I believe. And then when the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit was not something that he could purchase for his own good, quickly fell away from truth. Persecution came and the word was lost on him. We must remember that the rock is our sure foundation. There are those that will say, and maybe you have friends and family that say this, Christianity just didn't work for me. Or Christianity was too hard for me. That is those that have come to temporary faith, and when something difficult came, they allowed themselves to be swept away rather than growing in their faith and with Christ as their foundation. So the next is the path hearers. The path hearers have the birds come and that's the first one. The path hearers come and the birds eat up what was sown. And then the rocky hearers, there's growth, but it's temporary. And eventually they die off. And then next, Jesus mentions what we would call the thorny hearers. Verse 7 and then 18 and 19 says, "And others are the ones sown among thorns, those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." This third group does not die out because persecutions come. This third group dies out because the things of this world are too shiny. The things of this world are of greater value to them than what the Word of God offers and what eternity offers. We could think of Christian making his way through Vanity Fair and how all of the things of this world, the sights and sounds and smells of this world and everything in it are there presented to Christian, and Christian is able to stay focused. But there are those that are pulled away by Vanity Fair and all that this world has to offer. These are they who, if pressed, would say that they are Christians. Maybe even those that would sit in church from week to week. But what is the driving factor of their existence, or the driving factor of the things that they love and their full identity? It's not union with Christ, but it's the world and the things of this world. And that's a great warning. That is something that easily pulls those away who at one time professed the Lord Jesus. Worldliness is something that we don't hear of much today in the church, but it is a major factor in choking out the things of God for one who would hear the Word of God from week to week. The Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whosoever does the will of God remains forever." You know why we struggle to hear that? We struggle because as American Christians, we are way more worldly than we ought to be. And we realize that worldliness is something that has caused many of us to stumble and fall and be pulled away from the Lord. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. The thorny ground and the word will not prosper until one denies himself, takes up the cross, and follows Christ. That's what Jesus says is the first step in discipleship, is denying self. And that means letting go even of those desires and things and passions that hold us too tightly to the world. And I put myself in that category as well. I'm not scolding you. I'm scolding us. You will not bear the fruit of belief in Christ until you understand that this world is not our home. This world will be redeemed. The Lord will restore that which is broken. But we live for a world beyond. We live for eternity and for Christ. So may God free us from this path. May God free us from the birds that would pluck. May God free us from the rocks. May God free us from the thorns. And may the Word of God flourish in our hearts and minds as we hear the Word of God read and preach. So we're going to conclude with our third portion that Jesus gives, where we hear of the prosperity of the Word. The prosperity of the Word. This is verse 8 as well as 20, where Jesus tells us those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the Word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So the Spirit of God provides good soil. The heart as the heart of flesh instead of the heart of stone that the prophets say. It's the Spirit of God's work. It's the Spirit of God's work to go into your heart and to remove that stone and to put in flesh, that the Word of God may interact with a fleshy heart rather than a heart of stone. And as the Word of God is read and preached, the seed is able to make its way into the soil of your heart, and the fruit of the gospel then may come forth. It may flourish within your life. Now we want to note that the soil work is the work of the Spirit. There's nothing that you and I can do other than reading the Word and being in the means of grace to prepare us for that experience of the Lord. There's nothing that we can do to change that, but we can cry out and ask that the Spirit would change us and ask that the Spirit would bless us and that the Spirit would convert us. We can pray for good soil. And you can ask yourselves questions, sort of to examine the soil of your heart. You can say, you can ask yourself, are you a diligent hearer of the Word of God? Do you prepare to hear the Word of God preached? The bulletin gets sent out on Fridays usually, and you can see exactly what is going to be read. And you can read that, and you can go over the Psalms, and you can come into worship better prepared than if you, you know, stayed up until 2 in the morning on Saturday night and never looked at the bulletin and sort of stumbled into worship with the goal of merely staying awake. We can prepare in those ways. We can pray for light. We can pray for a receptive heart. You can examine what is preached against other scriptures. I would never want you to just take my word for it, but to examine what I say against other places within the Bible. That's a diligent work that the Lord will use. You can ask yourself whether you receive preaching as the Word of God, that which is faithful to the Scriptures. Do you use the language in your head of, God was speaking to me when He said? That's a good thing for us. Do you talk about it with others? Do you talk about preaching? The Puritans called this conferencing. Do you talk about it with other people? Hey, what was your sermon about today? Well, our preacher talked about blah, blah, blah. And they say, well, my preacher talked about this, that, and the other thing. And you have a holy conference, as our spiritual forefathers would have said. You see, soil is worked and tilled and prepared for seed. And the question is, are you receptive to the Word of God? Are you in the best position possible to be prepared for the Word of God? Now again, there's a difference between being prepared and preparationism. We know that there's nothing that we can do that says the Holy Spirit must work because I've done A, B, C, and D. But that doesn't mean to go to the other extreme and to harden our heart as possible and challenge the Spirit of God to break into that stony heart. We want hearts of flesh. We want soil that is able to be cultivated and soil that is ready for the work of God in our lives. And Jesus says that that word is accepted. One pastor said, sin will be truly hated and mourned over and renounced, and Christ will be loved and trusted and followed, and holiness will show itself in life and humility and spiritual mindedness and patience and meekness and in love. You see, the Word of God, as it bears fruit, will do just that. It will bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, temperance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. Against this there is no law means these things are always right. It is always good to be gentle. It is always good to be loving. It is always good to be kind. It is always good to be faithful. It is always good to have love, and always good to have joy, and always good to have peace. And this is the fruit that God brings forth in our lives. Maybe you have not experienced the fruit that you have in the past. And maybe you say, Pastor Nathan, I just don't see much fruit. And I would say, well, do you see any? Is there any fruit? Is there any fruit where you can look at that tree and you can say, there's not much fruit on that tree, but it's mine? And give glory to God for that. We can give glory to God even for the smallest and the most awkward of fruit that may grow in the trees of our lives. But continue, if you see the fruit, if you see any fruit, continue to pray for more fruit, continue to grow in hearing, continue to use the means of grace, read good books for your soul, and sing the Psalms, and talk about the sermons that you hear, and love the Word of God, and be in the Word of God, and watch that tree as it develops and grows, and more fruit comes in your life. Jesus here is teaching of the importance of hearing. Hearing the Word of God, that which is central to the kingdom. So no matter what you think of the kingdom of God, we're going to look at kingdom parables, and you know, maybe you say, well, let's talk about millennial views when we talk about kingdom. Well, no matter what your kingdom views are, as we look here, we see that the kingdom is a word-centered kingdom. We could talk about all of these opinions, but the Bible is central. God has given us this word that we may glorify and enjoy Him. And the hearing of the word, the preaching of the word, must be profitable. It must bring forth fruit in your life. So it's important that you hear well. It's important that you hear as the word of God is sown. So may the Spirit of God grant you soil in your heart that will bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold as you seek to glorify Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. Father, we thank you for this parable. We thank you for the truths of your word. And we do ask, O Lord, that you would bring forth much fruit in our lives. For Christ's sake and glory. Amen.